Well, this is Dr. Jeff Barrows again with another episode of The Voice of Advocacy, and I'm happy to welcome to the program today two individuals who are very active with CMDA, Drs. Joshua and Christina Goodwin. Joshua has his doctorate in psychology and specializes in child and family counseling. And Christina is a physician specializing in emergency medicine. And they both reside in beautiful Sonoma County, California. And with the addition of their beloved son, Henry, they are embarking on a new adventure, which is why we're having them on the program. And that includes writing children's books. And because of their love for people and a strong sense of justice for those who cannot speak for themselves, Joshua and Christina are donating the proceeds from their first book, ABC Food Creations, to our work here at CMDA. So, welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Hello.
Well, first of all, I want to say that it's kind of nice to have a topic that's a little less heavy than what we've been having on our past podcast. We've typically focused on death at the end of life and death at the beginning of life. So kind of shifting a little bit to children's books is obviously a positive, but we will be talking about our CMDA advocacy work. So as I mentioned, you both have recently published this book, ABC Food Creations, which, by the way, our listeners can get on Etsy if they want to buy it online. And you've graciously agreed to donate your profits to our advocacy work here at CMDA. So I'm curious, out of all the ministries that CMDA is engaged in, what made you choose advocacy as the fortunate recipient of your profits?
Well, both Joshua and I are passionate about CMDA in general. And after one of the more recent board meetings, we were having a discussion about some of CMDA advocacy's team's wins. And we are both really passionate about God's justice and protecting the weak. And we decided at that point that our profits from the book were going to go to the advocacy team.
Yeah, and we understand it takes resources to fight this good fight. It doesn't just come out of thin air. And so we want to try to make sure that the resources are available. I mean, this is just a small little penance of the penny from the widow. But every little bit counts, and every little bit of the fight toward, you know, these evils that are showing up more and more in the world, we hope will help.
Well, and you never know. The Lord may bless the sale of this book, and it could take off. It is a little unusual. I first of all, I want to thank you for giving me a copy of the book, and I've been looking through it and looking forward to reading it with my grandchildren. But it's unique in that you take each letter of the alphabet and you choose a fruit that begins with that letter, and then you create in the book shapes. And starting out with the letter A, you create the shapes of alligators, and it's called apple alligators. And B is banana boat. And C, I remember, is cherry cats, and so on through the alphabet. So very creative and a lovely picture. So I hope that those who are listening, if they have young children or grandchildren like I do, I hope they'll consider buying it. But you are both busy. You're in the healthcare profession. One is a mental health professional, and Christina, you are an emergency room physician. And as I mentioned, you have a young son, Henry, and no doubt very busy lives. And Christina, as you mentioned, you serve now on the board of CMDA as a young trustee. So writing a children's book is a little bit uncommon for professionals, especially early in their practice. So I'm curious as to what prompted you to write a children's book, and then really, how in the world did you find the time?
I have been blessed to be able to stay home, so that adds to a little bit of that time, and we have hobbies that rotate seasonally, and this was one of the seasons that we went through, and the idea's inception kind of came when we were just spending some time one evening, and Christina just said, this would be a great book for Henry. Not, you know, we're going to make a book. It would just be, let's make a book just for Henry. And so then we just tried to find the time for each other and make it happen. And it was really a project of love.
Yeah, like you said, it wasn't really a goal. We didn't sit down and say, hey, we're going to write a kid's book. We were just chatting one evening. I think Henry was about 2 months old, and you know, you're kind of sleep deprived and sitting there just chatting about life. And the idea came, I'm sure it came from God, because it just came out of nowhere. And Joshua was like, yeah, that's a great idea. You should go for it. So then he would, did all the work to make a list of which creations I was going to make and what food I needed. And then he would go into the store and get whatever I needed, one or two creations at a time, and bring it back. And then he'd take Henry so I could sit at the table and spend an hour or two making little creations and then photographing him for the book. So definitely a team effort.
Yeah, and every single image in there has actually been photographed by Christina, landscapes and the actual food creations themselves. I kind of meshed the two together, kind of in a harmony. But yeah, everything that is in there is all, you know, photographed in real life.
You must be quite an avid photographer, Christina, because your photographs are amazing.
Thank you. I do like photography, but I say if you take enough pictures, you get some good ones.
that I think is the secret. How old is Henry now?
14 months.
Okay. Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, you've expressed an interest in the advocacy work of CMDA. And so I'm curious how in your lives, Joshua as a mental health professional and Christina as an emergency room physician, how does biblical advocacy impact your daily lives and your professions? And if so, what's been your own engagement in advocating for Christ's values?
So for me as an ER physician, I don't feel it's as strong on a day-to-day basis as, say, like maybe a family physician, but it does play a large role in my daily routine. I refer patients to, say, a Christian pregnancy counseling center instead of to an abortion clinic. I think the biblical morals and ethics behind it play a huge role in how I treat patients, pray with them, how I encourage them. And then overall, it makes a big difference in, say, you know, we don't have to do abortions in the emergency room because of the work of the advocacy team. So in that sense, on a more global picture, we don't do any physician-assisted suicide in the emergency room, you know, that type of stuff that we are protected from because of the work of CMDA and the fights in the advocacy realm.
And kind of in my world, recently there's been kind of like a new wave of thinking, which I consider a false compassion. And those things are, yes, like the physician-assisted suicide or anything that would destroy God's creation, God's life, you know, abortion, those types of things. And this false compassion is saying, oh, we're doing such a good thing for X, Y, or Z. But in true reality, it is not the case. It's just one of those lies that the adversary wants to push out, because everyone deserves the right to life. Everyone deserves life, because, I mean, without life, there's no ability to choose, you know, salvation. And that redemption is not available. So, yeah, messing with God's creation, not so good.
It never turns out well, does it? So, you know, it is such a battle right now. Christina, you remind me that right now the Biden administration is forcing or trying to force emergency room physicians to be doing abortions through the EMTALA Act that was done in the mid-1980s. And of course, there is a case before the Supreme Court that is going to be heard in the next week or so. And so we hope that that will turn out well and that the Supreme Court will see the fact that there is nothing mentioned about abortion in the EMTALA law and correctly turn aside the administration's efforts. But I need to ask, were both of you involved in any advocacy efforts when you were in your student days, which hasn't been all that long ago?
As far as like larger political stuff, I've always written my senators and legislators with my opinions about stuff. On a smaller scale, I've done service work with Habitat for Humanity, just more on a community level. And then for me, I was actually on UCLA's ethics committee for the School of Medicine.
Okay.
And I think ethics and advocacy are really closely intertwined because it takes a strong moral compass and ethics to stand your ground and advocate for your patients and for good medicine.
Yeah, yeah, good.
And I was not necessarily involved quite in that track, but more of a humanitarian track. I chartered my college's Circle K International, which is an organization for service. And also I was the co-founder and vice president of Stanislaus Humanitarian Society. And what we did is we provided essentially just like basics, food, shelter for people who were food insecure or who lacked the need for particular types of temporary shelter if something wasn't available or rooms weren't available. Also clothing. So it was very basic necessities there.
Well, keeping on that theme, and I don't know exactly how many years it's been since you were in your student days and training days, but it hasn't been all that long, but there's been a great deal of change in our culture. So I wanted to ask, as you reflect on your experience of the past few years, what would you say to any students or those in training that are just starting on the path of becoming a healthcare professional?
Yeah, I would definitely say a lot has changed, especially in the recent years. It's almost parabolic, kind of a rate like that. So mental health, some mental health disorders are no longer disorders classified, strangely as such. And some of the issues with that false compassion that I was talking about is they're so hot button topics, or some of these are such hot button topics and not categorized as mental health issues, that the individuals who are seekers for help or whatever they may need can actually get the help that they need because it's no longer considered an issue. You know, it's celebrated or, mm-hmm. you know, something along those lines. So, yeah, a lot has changed and very quickly.
Yeah.
I think for me, I would still tell them that medicine is hard, but definitely rewarding. And that while knowledge is essential, medicine is really about human connection and easing people's fears while you help them heal. And then maybe just a discussion to let them know, hey, there may be a time coming when you have to choose between your job and following Christ. And you may have to say, no, I can't do what you're asking me to do at this hospital, and you may end up without a job, and that's always a possibility.
Yeah. Well, that leads perfectly into my last question for you both. And as Christian healthcare professionals, what do you see? I mean, you're young in your careers. Now, Joshua, you've taken a little time off to take care of Henry, but it's likely you'll get back in as Henry starts school, no doubt. What do you see as the greatest threat to your future, Joshua, in mental health and Christina in emergency medicine?
I would say the greatest threat that I see is the potential loss of right of conscience, because physicians need to be able to do what they know is right. And as soon as you try and take that away and force them to do what they know is wrong, not only is there a huge patient safety issue, but as Christians, we have to stand up to that and say, no, Christ is first. Christ is always first. No matter if we lose our job, if we lose our, you know, home, if we lose our regular income for food, Christ has to be first, because our time on this earth is so short compared to our time in eternity with Christ that, you know, there's not really a choice there. We know what we need to do.
Yeah, I agree. If careers come and go, but life and life abundantly, you know, is a one-time deal, and nothing should ever trump salvation or service to God. But yeah, I agree. The right of conscience is slowly fading away, and that is one of our last hopes for, especially for Christians, to do what, you know, they know is biblically best for the individual, without, you know, someone looming over their shoulder, you know, thinking, you could lose your job for this, or that might not be the best thing, or your livelihood could be affected if you say X, Y, or Z, or do X, Y, or Z.
You know, I think the biggest illustration of how quickly conscience freedoms have changed is that 30 years ago, Congress passed the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, and they did it in a bipartisan manner with great majorities in both houses. It was signed into law by President Bill Clinton at the time. And it was really not at all controversial. But here we are 30 years later, and we are having a very difficult time getting conscience freedoms established at the state level, even in states that I would think would not be a problem. We're having a significant battle in the state of Kentucky, Missouri, and others. And so just 30 years, one generation, and suddenly conscience freedoms, conscience rights are now very controversial. So I think you both are on track with that assessment. So I want to just end up here today with a verse that I frequently use when I'm talking to groups about our work, because sometimes our members will question the importance and the need to engage in advocacy. So one of my favorite verses to quote back is actually Proverbs 31, verses 8 and 9, where the writer says, "Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and the needy." And when I read that verse or talk about that verse, the first group that comes to mind of those that cannot speak for themselves, of course, is the preborn. And so thank you both for your help in helping us to do that, and as well as your other ongoing advocacy work. And I just want to thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule. And again, your generous offer to use the profits from your book to support our advocacy efforts here at CMDA.
Very welcome. Thank you for all the work you do. We are super grateful for all the advocacy work that you head up and manage at CMDA.
Yes, and this wonderful podcast here as well, spreading positive and noteworthy information.
Well, it's been a joy to have you both on, and let me remind our listeners, the name of the children's book is ABC Food Creations by the Doctors Goodwin. So to our listeners, I would say please pray for our advocacy team as we continue to lead efforts to protect the vulnerable in this country. Those prayers are definitely appreciated. And Lord willing, we hope to have you join us with our next podcast episode in about a month. But until then, I encourage you to continue speaking up as the Lord leads.
The 2024 CMDA National Convention will be here before you know it. Have you reserved your spot yet? We're joining together at the Ridgecrest Conference Center just outside Asheville, North Carolina on May 2nd through the 5th, 2024. This is your opportunity to fellowship and worship with other Christians in healthcare as we raise his banner together. If you do plan to attend, we hope you will consider joining us for our advocacy track on the afternoon of Friday, May 3rd, as we tackle topics like human trafficking, standing for truth, and protecting the vulnerable. For more scheduling information, visit natcon.cmda.org. CMDA's advocacy team strives to be a voice for the vulnerable. Students, we need your voice now more than ever. If you desire to stay informed and get involved in state or federal level advocacy, we invite you to sign up for our new quarterly newsletter, The Advocacy Report. To sign up, visit cmda.org/advocacy. As a result of a partnership between CMDA and Alliance Defending Freedom, we are now offering free legal consultations for CMDA members who may be experiencing conscience freedom issues in the workplace. Available to CMDA members, this program is designed to help those who feel they are being discriminated against in the workplace due to their firmly held moral and religious beliefs. If you feel your conscience freedoms are at risk, please visit cmda.org/legal to learn more about how we can help. Have you heard about freedomtocare.org? It is the hub for CMDA's advocacy work. There, you will find resources, ways to get involved, information about active federal bills that we are tracking, and much more. Freedom to Care is focused on educating, encouraging, and equipping citizens to advocate for First Amendment religious and conscience freedoms by enabling healthcare professionals to uphold life-honoring principles found within traditional Hippocratic medical ethics. For more information, visit freedomtocare.org. Thanks for listening to The Voice of Advocacy. If you would like to suggest a future guest or share a comment with us, please email advocacy@cmda.org. And if you like the podcast, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and share it on your favorite social media platform. This podcast has been a production of Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The opinions expressed by guests on this podcast are not necessarily endorsed by Christian Medical and Dental Associations. CMDA is a nonpartisan organization that does not endorse political parties or candidates for public office. The views expressed on this podcast reflect judgments regarding principles and values held by CMDA and its members and are not intended to imply endorsement of any political party or candidate.